T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
Big Booty is my kryptonite.
That boy's good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
This is Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Jacob Albrock on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
We're pulse checking KU, Wichita State, Gonzaga. By the way, the Gonzaga-Duke game, I hope everyone had a chance to see it. It was one of those rare games where you had teams playing at a really highly evolved level. Clean, incredibly athletic, fun to watch, every possession, up and down the floor, the whole nine yards. It was absolutely fantastic. Kansas losing to Dayton. I guess it falls into the category of that stuff happens. This would be a little bit more understandable if it was the Dayton of the last few years, but this team had really kind of stumbled out of the blocks and hadn't really done much of anything at all. There was really no indication that Dayton would even hang with Kansas, let alone have a chance to beat them at the buzzer, which is exactly what happened. But be that as it may, and then you've got the rest of the American. Memphis loses. Memphis had been looking unbeatable. Cincinnati had gotten off to a sizzling start, then lost a couple in a row. So, early pulse check of the American. What do you come away with, Jacob?
I think that Houston's, like Wichita State, going to defend its way into every game it plays. And you know, Houston's looked good. They had a couple missteps. I out of the corner of my eye, I was, you know, watching that game against Wisconsin, and they were trying to get back in that thing. Wisconsin did a nice job. Memphis, I expect stuff like this from Memphis. It's a young team. And,
right.
You know, we've said, too, that, you know, Penny's evolving still as a college basketball coach. And I think, to his credit, he brought in some guys this year on for his assistants to really help him in that evolution. And I think that's going to continue to come, as well as, you know, he's still – his team's young. And we're going to see young teams do that. I don't think that takes anything away. I mean, they just ooze talent. So I think that the Shockers, to me right now, do look like the, you know, the third best team in the league, don't you think?
I would think.
Is there anybody? Mm-hmm. I think they're ahead of SMU, certainly, who would be the team that people predict.
Cincinnati has a win over Illinois. So,
Cincinnati has that good win, and that's interesting because they're in such turmoil. I don't know. I need to. They look good in that game. I'll say that. But then they've lost their next two, right? Didn't they lose?
Right.
They lost back to back after that win.
Yeah.
So Arkansas is understandable. That was a tight game. They lost by 6. Arkansas looked, you know, every bit the part. The metrics love Arkansas too. Monmouth, I don't really know what to make of that. I have no idea about Monmouth basketball this year. My apologies. Haven't seen UCF, haven't seen East Carolina, haven't seen Tulsa. I saw like half a game from Temple. I don't think I've seen South Florida. So, I don't know. I've seen plenty of Memphis, Houston, and Wichita State and SMU, quite frankly, to say that those are the three top teams right now. And
Central Florida gave Oklahoma all they wanted. So Central Florida's off to at least a decent start.
Okay.
But I would agree. I mean, I think that Wichita State at this particular point's probably sitting in that three hole.
Don't you just feel like there's so much left on the bone, too, for the Shockers?
Yes.
As they continue to develop offensively around Tyson Etienne. Look, Tyson Etienne, it's very clear, and the Shockers are making no bones about it. And honestly, I kind of like it. They're going to allow Tyson Etienne to get his. And I'm sure that was a big part of the conversation in coming back. Look, the shots are going to be there for you. And it is a little uncomfortable, I think, for a lot of old school basketball fans, certainly a lot of Shocker fans that have been used to the last 15 years of spread the ball around, usually nobody's above about 14 points a game. Like, it's a little bit different. It's a lot of bit different, quite frankly, offensively. And sometimes it's not easy on the eyes when those shots don't fall. But Isaac Brown's allowing patience with that, because when Tyson Etienne gets hot and when he shoots at a high level, which he's been doing the last few games, that he's almost unguardable. Mm-hmm. And so, as the rest of that offense develops, if they can get better in transition, if they hit their free throws, I do think the evolution of this offense is going to be pretty attractive by the end of the year. As long as they keep defending and as long as every player on that roster buys into the offense runs through Tyson Etienne, and I think that they will. I think Wichita State has a chance to continue to develop offensively. And I have just been so pleased to see their level of effort defensively that hasn't skipped a beat from last year, that remains to be the identity of this team. Everybody knows it when they come into a game, and they've embraced it. Just we have, it's Shocker basketball. It's play angry. It's all those things with an elite-level offensive player. Who was the last at this level? Obviously, Fred VanVleet at the NBA level has developed into that kind of offensive player. But Wichita State doesn't typically have this kind of individual offensive guy.
No. It's not designed that way. Klee Anthony Early could have been that type of player.
Yeah.
When he was there. But the system, that's just not the way Greg functioned. And he liked... He liked lots of different guys that can score, with the thought, obviously, that depth is good, because you're never going to have a night where your main guy shows up every single night. It's just not going to happen.
And I do think that Wichita State currently has several guys that can score. Mo Udeze's picked it up a little bit offensively. He needs to stop turning the ball over, and he needs to stop fouling. But Kenny Poto provides a little relief. So your bigs are giving you what you need them to give you. I think that on any given night, Quay Grant or Ricky Council have showed the ability to get in there with confidence. I think that Dexter Dennis is always going to do what he does, which is provide a three-point shooter and a guy that locks people down. And I think Craig Porter is also developing a little bit offensively, but has done a pretty good job running the point. So, I don't think there's anybody in the rotation right now that you're not thinking, okay, this guy can be a contributor. Pleasant, I'm not sure what to think about Pleasant's game so far, but he's given him good minutes. I just don't think he's going to be, a big contributor offensively. There could be some nights where that happens. But I don't think he's getting overwhelmed by the transition to basketball at this level, and I don't think Quay Grant is either. So I like the rotation. I like everything about that. We just need to see a continued development offensively from guys like Ricky Council,
right?
Quay Grant. The post needs to provide. I still like that the offense, they always say it runs through the bigs down low, and I think it's going to continue to do that. It's going to continue to run through the bigs down low, right?
Right. I would agree. I think that your comment of earlier is on target. I think that there is a pretty good ceiling for this team. They're certain they're not there yet. I don't think that you've had a game where you've looked at them and said, wow. And yet I think they've got the potential to be that kind of team. I think that they could have they're going to have some moments during the season where shots fall and they start falling early and they're going to blow somebody out. That's going to make you say, okay. Because Etienne is going to get going, and he's going to have one of these games where he's, 9 of 13 or 11 of 16 or whatever the number is for his volume. I'll tell you what, the game on Wednesday is going to be interesting for who blinks defensively, because you're talking about two really good top 40 type defensive teams in the country, Oklahoma State and Wichita State. So that one will be interesting.
That game feels big. That game feels
big. Yeah, it does.
I don't know where Oklahoma State's going to land. It's hard to say because, you know, they had the number one player in the country last year and they lost him and they're going through a little turnover. But, man, you like the way they're coached. And it feels like they have a great young coach. They'll have pretty good players. That's a tough environment to go win in. And I do think that Oklahoma State's going to do enough this year as a true road game for that game to be impactful when the dust settles. So an opportunity here for Wichita State to get in there and get another big win. And man, if Wichita State's able to get that win and does what we think it probably, I mean, Wichita State will be favored over K-State, don't you think?
Yes, I would think so. Not by a ton,
we'll
but
see
I
what
think
that line.
Will.
No, it'll be within 5 points, I think. But you know, you come out of this deal 7-1, and they're probably at that point flirting with the top 25, and then they get a slate of games again where you're like, ooh, at home, and then it's pretty much you just now you go in there and you really work some things out before conference, because remember the schedule after this stretch of two games here is, I'm gonna pull it up. Is, you know, that North Texas game is probably the best left, but you go Norfolk State, Alcorn State, North Texas, and Prairie View A&M all at Coke Arena. So from December 11th through Christmas, basically, you play the next four at home against teams you absolutely need to beat, and then you're into conference play. Just boom,
right.
You're into conference play. So, you know, the month of December is going to be critical, like this week, and then you'd think that they'll be in pretty good shape until they get there.
Yeah, they get two.
Got to
win
at least
week.
One of these next two.
Mm-hmm.
Got to win at least one, but two's on the table, and I'm curious to see that line Wednesday against Oklahoma State. I don't know. I wonder what that's going to look like. Probably essentially, I would think about a pick 'em, but we'll see.
I bet you they're slight underdogs, but not by much. Well, hence the term slight. But and Oklahoma State has won a 1-point game at Oral Roberts. Handled Charleston. Their best win is the North Carolina State win. Beat North Carolina State 74-68. Lost by a point to Oakland. That's about where they are right now.
Yeah.
And I would expect Wichita State to play well in that game, but you're right. You're talking about getting to 7-1 with then four games where you're going to be strong to big favorites, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So I mean, if you even go 1-1 this week, the one needs to be at Oklahoma State. A neutral.
I think so.
A neutral court game against K-State is neither here nor there.
I say that, but wins are bigger than losses. I feel like when it comes to resume time. So, you know, if you're asking me if I could only pick one win, I'd pick Oklahoma State and a loss to Kansas State. You know what I mean? Like I feel like the wins are more important than the, okay, for example, Kansas's win over Michigan State will mean more than Kansas's loss to Dayton.
Yes. Right.
So if, you know, if you're the Shockers and you can only pick one of them, you pick the win at Oklahoma State in a true road game, because it will mean more when you're looking for the big wins. It's not like when we get to resume time, the committee's in there looking for bad losses. I don't think that they are. I think they're just looking for good wins.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is what makes that Arizona game so close to what would have been just a massive win, I think, by the end of it.
Yeah, but you know what? That's okay. Right, and who knows how the dominoes fall after that. They end up beating UNLV in a game that they could have just as easily lost. So,
sure.
You know, but you're right. That the Arizona game, you hope that it doesn't come back to be
if we had just done that game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anyway. All right. I think any
wins over Houston and Memphis are going to end up as big time wins. So, you know, that's the good news.
I think the top of the league is pretty good. I know Houston and Memphis are really good. I think Central Florida is going to be decent. They just lost a very close game to Oklahoma. I think SMU's decent. I think Cincinnati's decent. Temple may be slightly improved. I think they're off to a 3-3 start. So I think the league's going to be okay. And I think it could be pretty good at the top. So that can help sustain them as well. All right. Let's turn the page right now to a little college football. It was Kansas State swings and misses at Texas. The Skylar Thompson effect, does it have a clouding? Does it make it difficult to assess Chris Klieman when we're assessing games that they played and lost in without Skylar Thompson?
Yes. Yes, I think it does. I think it does. Because you don't know what might have been. It makes it difficult because you feel like they win Saturday. If at least I feel like they win Saturday, if Skylar Thompson plays in that game. I mean, they had an opportunity with Will Howard, who did nothing in that game, nothing. Right. So. I mean, he had the one long run. I shouldn't say nothing. He did have the one long run. But, yeah, I don't know what to think. I'd like to see Skylar Thompson get healthy for a bowl game and then to pick up a win. I do think they probably slightly exceeded expectations this year. Not expectations in Manhattan, but expectations from the general public. They probably slightly exceeded those. They had a chance to blow those out of the water. The Baylor game's pretty disappointing. To me, the most disappointing game of the season is the Baylor game. Because Skylar Thompson didn't get hurt until, you know, the very end of that game when they were already defeated. So that to me is the most disappointing loss on the year. This last week, they probably should have won that game, but whatever. I mean, they should have won it if Skylar Thompson played. I say it that way. So I don't know. I think it's fine. I think it's a fine season. I'm most concerned, like, they have got to find, what are they going to do at quarterback next year?
That's, you took the question literally out of my mouth, right?
If Rubley isn't, because you're not going to harm his eligibility now. If Rubley isn't ready to be better than what Will Howard was on Saturday, is Rubley really the guy that's going to take the reins?
It's a great question.
If now, toward the end of this season, is he going to get that much better that he's not better than what Will Howard gives you right now? If he doesn't even give you a slight chance better than that, I mean, are we really confident that he's going to be the guy? Or
no. Good call.
Does the immediate future of this program depend on what outside quarterback they can bring in this offseason?
I think the latter, and I would ask the question, what is the love affair between Chris Klieman and Will Howard? Or is it not necessarily a love affair? It's just that's the cards that you've dealt yourself, and that's what you got to go with. You don't have a better answer.
I mean, I'm afraid that he feels like he really is the best option. That's what scares me.
Yeah, that's
the best option.
And this is nothing against the young man who plays hard. Sorry, yeah. And I'm not saying that. I think that if you canvass the K-State faithful right now with the simple question, is Will Howard your quarterback of the future? You had yes, no, and hell no. I think hell no would probably win out. I just don't think that there's a lot of faith. And frankly, over the course of 2 years, I'm not sure what Will Howard has done to have earned that. So your questions about Rubley are good and concerning, because if he isn't any better right now than what Will Howard gives you, and really not in terms of skill set, Will Howard is quarterbacking more in terms of his experience than anything else. I don't think it's his skill set. What does he bring to the field in terms of skill set that help you win a football game?
I don't know. It's not translating. Whatever's happening at practice isn't translating. You have got to have something. I don't know what they're going to do next year. I mean, to me, though, K-State is an attractive. We've seen a couple transfers here in the last couple days. That's going to happen across
the country.
Yeah,
I think it is too.
I don't think I'm going to look too much into any of that, because it goes both ways, right? But you have got to, and I think Klieman has the resume to do it. You just wonder about, you know, the system and the staff to do it, quite frankly. And I know there's a lot of people clamoring for some changes within the coaching staff. I don't know, but what I do know is, you've got to go out and get somebody, because if Rubley's not ready to take over right now in that game this past weekend, then he's not going to be the guy next year either.
Right.
And if he is the guy next year, what in the world was he doing not playing in that game? You know, like, both things can't coexist. If he comes out and lights the world on fire next year, you're thinking, well, God, why not use him in the games where they needed him? They could have kept his, you know, they could have kept his eligibility intact. But so you got to go get somebody, whether it's junior college, whether it's Division II, whether it's a D1 transfer. I don't know what it is. But Chris Klieman has a history with quarterbacks where he should be able to go do it. And you get somebody to come in there.
It's the biggest question. It is clearly the biggest question. Kansas State has at its core decent personnel to go into next season with.
The expectations should be high next year.
Yes, I would think so too. But it all depends on who they have leading that program. And I don't know if my leaning would be that the quarterback to lead that program in the immediate future is not necessarily on that roster right now. And for the very reasons that you outlined. Will Howard, we can see with our own eyes. And then Jake Rubley, obviously, is kind of like, well, you've got Will Howard to beat out. And for whatever reason, that's not happening or hasn't happened. So, interesting situation. Is the seat a little warmer for Chris Klieman going into next year? Even with let's say they come out of there with a bowl win and go 8-5. Is there a little warmth? Don't know.
I don't know. They just extended.
That seems like a ridiculous question when you're talking about the potential of going 8-5.
I don't think anybody's seat's too warm right now with the current coaching climate around the country. I think you're probably pretty happy to have anybody.
Yeah, you might be right. You might be right about that. All right. We'll get into a little bit of KU and get to the NFL as well as we continue here on a Monday edition. The KFH Hotline is brought to you by Twin Peaks. East at 21st and Rock, west at Ridge and Taft, Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
You Your phone call is welcome. 869-1240. Sports Daily on 97.5 and 1240. KFH.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sad bit of news to pass along. Lee Elder, the first golfer of color to play in the Masters, has passed away at the age of 87. Four-time winner on the PGA Tour. Sorry to hear about that. Lee Elder, the first African-American golfer in Masters history, passing away today at the age of 87. All right, a quick note on KU, and we'll get more on them as we get with Brian Haney on Wednesday. But and didn't pay like visual attention to their game with West Virginia, but just checked in on it every now and then. There aren't many teams that improved as much as Kansas did down the season's stretch. When things had gone so inconsistently and so poorly for so much of the season, I really like the way that this team competed down the stretch. They had the success, of course, down in Austin, but really have been very competitive in every game since then. And I just feel like if you're a Kansas fan, and I know there aren't a lot of Kansas football fans, but maybe they will be growing because they appear to be pointing the arrow in the right direction. It appears that they've got this thing. I'm not even saying that they're to the corner yet, but at least they're not drowning right now.
I agree with that completely. I think that they've put themselves in a situation where you could think about 3 to 4 wins next year. They got 2 this year and played really tight games in the last 2 of the season. I think you got to be, it's silly to think like 3 or 4 wins would be, but you got to be happy with that. Like that has to be okay.
Sure.
Daniels had a couple of picks on Saturday. Okay. Like that's no, that's not good.
Boy, they're
but
better
I
with him,
feel,
though, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're better with him.
I think so.
Him,
and Bean, Bean played well. Bean was an explosive guy. I don't think he certainly wasn't the problem.
No.
But Daniels is going to give them a chance if he can come in. And we don't know what Leipold's going to do in a recruiting cycle or in a transfer portal cycle. We don't know yet because he got the job too late. So we'll find that out, too, soon. I think that, we sit here and look at them, and I think if we look at them as, think back to when Leipold got the job, if you thought, okay, going into year two, they've got 4-ish wins on the table, could they go get 4? You'd probably be pretty pleased with that, wouldn't you?
I think you'd take it. Yep, sure. I think
it's
you'd
not going
to
be, we're not going to be to the point of, all right, Kansas now needs to be competing for a bowl game. That was never on the table for next year. It's at the soonest the year after next, I would think. I don't know if it gets any easier or more difficult with the conference changing down the road. I don't know. It's going to take some time, but I do agree with you. It's hard to imagine a scenario where you felt better about them than you do right now going into the season. And knowing that they're only a 2-win team speaks to how low the program was coming into this season.
Non-conference next season, Tennessee Tech on September 3rd at home, winnable okay. game. Then at Houston, that's a tough one. And then Duke at home. And I David Cutcliffe is out at Duke. And that's a team that beat you up pretty good early this season, but we don't know what Duke's going to look like next year. I think there's a chance to go 2-1 with mm-hmm. your two home games. God, they open at Baylor, then Iowa State, and then Oklahoma State. Boom, boom, boom. Next year. Okay. Progress. Take it. Take it in any shape and fashion that you can get it. Right now, it's a question of whether they can win some games next year, and I think you're right. I think if you can win 3 or 4 games next year, that would be really good progress. But Lance Leipold has started to change the culture, at the very least. And I was really impressed with the way that they hung in there and competed with West Virginia. Yeah, I thought they did a really good job. Anything else jump out at you about the college football? I mean, is Cincinnati in? Are they in as long as they win the American championship? Can the selection committee hose Cincinnati in the current climate of college football?
Sure they can. Sure they can. Mm. They've showed us 1,000 times that they can. I mean, I don't know who would jump them. Alabama with a win over Georgia is the doomsday scenario right now. Right? That's the mm-hmm. worst case scenario, don't you think?
I think so.
Cincinnati anyway.
Alabama's still Alabama, but
they're
not. They're fine, but they're not last year's or the year before. No. That's Alabama. This is a beatable Alabama football team. Auburn.
I will contend for you that they don't have enough. I mean, they have good wins. Don't get me wrong, right? Arkansas and Ole Miss are good wins.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not better than a true road game against Notre Dame. They've obviously played a more difficult schedule, but this isn't, to me, watching Alabama, this isn't that year that they're so overwhelmingly, I think Ohio State's better than Alabama. I mean, I do, if we're just talking about what team is the best, mm-hmm. I think Ohio State's better than Bama.
Well, Ohio State's played themselves out of it, haven't they?
I think so.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they have. The question locally becomes, where's Oklahoma State in this mix?
Yeah, they got to win this week. They got to go get it. And then I think it gets into that, you know, is Oklahoma State with a loss better than Cincinnati? I don't know. But they're going to say that they are. They're going to hope that they are. I just don't know if it's going to be there. Right, I don't know if it's going to be there. Ohio State, Ohio State's the real question. Are they truly out of it? Are they going to be truly out of it?
Mm.
They're not going to have a chance now to go get a win in the Big Ten championship game. Are they truly out of it? And the question
becomes...
They've
got to be at this point, right?
Yeah, but Bruce, what if Michigan loses to Iowa? And now you got 3-2 loss Big Ten teams. Is the Big Ten going to be held out of the CFP?
They might be.
That's what's going to be the challenge here. And Michigan's got to take care of business. They'll be in, right? Michigan's going to get in if they beat Iowa. You got to think.
Yes.
So, but if they don't, if Michigan doesn't win that game, does Cincinnati stay in over a 2-loss Big Ten team? Cincinnati will stay ahead of Notre Dame. I don't think there's any question about that.
Well, do you have Oklahoma State, Baylor? You have Oklahoma State, Baylor.
You got it. Does Baylor? I don't think Baylor will move ahead of 2-loss Ohio State, so they're going to stay there. Oklahoma State, Notre Dame, Michigan. Michigan will probably replace Ohio State, don't you think, at 2 in the CFP?
Mm-hmm.
Alabama will hold at 3. Notre Dame will slide up a spot to 5. Oklahoma State will slide up a spot to 6. Ohio State, I'll bet you, ends up at 7, and Baylor stays at 8. I think that's what's going to happen. So now there's all kinds of scenarios in play. If Georgia beats Bama, Bama's out. Then at that point, I think, you know, you've got Oklahoma State's got maybe a path. But Oklahoma State, I think, can jump Notre Dame with a win over Baylor. That's, you know, the unfortunate thing for Notre Dame that they don't play a championship game. But, you know, I think there is a path, but they need Bama to lose, and they probably need Michigan to win to go ahead and take care of business. Because I don't think you don't want to start stacking against Ohio State if you're Oklahoma State. Like, there's some things there that could hurt you. So for the Big 12, you need Georgia to beat Bama, and you need Michigan to beat Iowa. And then I think they got a shot.
Yeah, Oklahoma State's opportunity is through the back door, frankly.
But I think Michigan's going to beat Iowa, and I think Georgia's going to beat Bama.
I do, too.
I think those two things are going to happen. So it's there. Oklahoma State could jump Notre Dame this week. I mean, they could jump Notre Dame this week because of the win over Oklahoma.
Boy, lots of intrigue. Of course, the new CFP poll will come out tomorrow. We'll have that to dissect on Wednesday. All right, a little OTD. It happened on this day in sports, a big sports birthday on this day, as we wrap up a Monday edition Sports Daily right here on the Sports Station, KFH. Back in a moment.
And 1240
Radio. All right, Jed, thank you very much. Don't forget to take KFH Radio with you anywhere. It's as simple as downloading the Odyssey app, Odyssey, AUDACY, and taking KFH Radio with you. Go to the App Store, download the Odyssey app, and KFH goes with you in your hip pocket. Big weekend of state football championships. Andale holding up the local mantle. We'll get into that in just a moment. Let me get to OTD here on this day in sports history. Brought to you by Superior Rents at 21st and Ridge. Tools that work, your equipment rental headquarters at Superior Rents. On this day in sports, November 29th, in 1890, the very first Army-Navy football game was played. Midshipmen beat Army 24-0 in a game played at West Point. Jacob, have you ever been to a game involving the service academies?
I haven't.
They're fun. They're different. They're different. They are emotional. You feel like there are people playing football with a much larger purpose. in life than simply playing football on a Saturday. That doesn't change the fact that they play with tremendous passion. I've been to the Air Force Army and the Air Force Navy game before, both, but I've not seen a game in West Point or Annapolis. And it's on my bucket list. I'd really, really like to see one of those games back there. 1934 on this day, the Bears beat the Lions. Boy, not much ever changes there in that regard. In the first ever broadcast game for the NFL. First time the NFL had ever been broadcast back in 1934. And in 1976, and I don't particularly care about Reggie Jackson signing with the Yankees, a five-year deal, but it happened on this day. Reggie Jackson, 1976, five-year deal with the New York Yankees. Would you like to just hazard a guess for how much the deal was worth, Jacob? Now, this is as recently as, what, 45 years ago? Is my math right there? 45 years ago?
That sounds about right. Yeah.
Huh? Mm-hmm. Five-year deal with the Yankees. What was it worth?
$200,000.
$200,000 a year actually is not a horrible guess. $3.5 million over the course of the contract. So do the math. I'm not good enough to do that, but it's a little north of $200,000. But still, $3.5 million for a five-year deal. Can you imagine that? Just look at what guys are making in free agency right now. You've got guys turning down $18 million qualifying offers to test themselves in free agency. Just absolutely crazy how the game has changed. By the way, we'll get into some Major League Baseball and free agency coming up here tomorrow or Wednesday. And on this day, born on this day, 1927, the great Vin Scully. And I do mean the great Vin Scully. Very happy birthday, Vin Scully, former voice of the Brooklyn and Los Angeles Dodgers. And let's just say baseball in general, because when you think baseball, you think of Vin Scully. So there you go. A little OTD for you on this day, November 29th. Well, Derby swung and missed. Trying for what, a four-peat or a three-peat? Mays had a competitive game, but lost to Mill Valley in 5A, 28-14. Andover Central, very competitive game in 4A with St. James, comes away 28-21 losers. Our congratulations to not only those who foisted the trophy, but those who played for it. But Andale just finishes another steamrolling season, 53-0 over Frontenac. God, you play your starters a quarter and a half and take the rest of the day off. Congratulations.
Yeah, that was it was a rough day for the West. It was a rough day for the West, but Andale and Mead got it done down in 8-10.
Yep.
But Derby lost. That one surprised us a lot. Mays played a great game, but Mill Valley keeps breaking our hearts. And Andover Central, yeah, that one went down to the wire. It's okay. We'd hope for some more for West, but great seasons as always. Congratulations to everybody for even, you know, reaching that game. And we'll see. The Andale streak continues. Derbies, they'll have to start over next year.
Yeah, absolutely. But let me echo those congratulations. Job well done. All right, we'll close it down, get you ready for the rest of the day, finishing up on a Monday edition of Sports Daily. The KFH Hotline is brought to you by Twin Peaks. East at 21st and Rock, west at Ridge and Taft. Twin Peaks eats, drinks, scenic views.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.